This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. And I'm very excited because today I'm joined by four-time author Sharon Neiss Arbus, who's back on the program to talk about her latest book, How I Learned to Pee in the Forest and Other Lighthearted Stories with Life-Changing Lessons. And the book is fabulous. And later on in the show, we'll meet Marissa, who is the lead floral designer for Garrett Floris. She'll be on the program to tell us all about the latest and greatest in flowers and in holiday florals. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Sharon Neiss Arbus. And I also love that her bio is so short in shrift, also the sign of a good writer, when you can really make it clean, clear, and straightforward. And that's what she's done. Sharon is a seasoned copywriter turned novelist and freelance writer, author of Me and My So-Called Friends, Get Up, and The Most Amazing Department Store. And she's been on the show for all of these books. And now here with her latest book, How I Learned to Pee in the Forest and Other Lighthearted Stories with Life-Changing Lessons, which is Sharon's fourth book. She lives in Toronto with her husband, Gordy, and they have three adult children. So happy to see you again, Sharon. Welcome back to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you. It is a great honor to be here today. I love this show. It's so much fun.
We always have such a good time on it.
Yeah.
Sharon, I really have to say, and this is like not just saying to an author, congratulations, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And all of your accomplishments. And I can't believe that you're back on the show today. I think for the fourth time, or is it the fifth time? I don't even know.
Fourth time.
Now in season seven to talk about this fourth book. Like, that's really awesome and really exemplary. And,
thank you.
And you're such a hard worker. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But can you tell us more about what inspired you to create your latest brainchild, How to Pee in the Forest and Other Lighthearted Stories with Life-Changing Lessons?
Absolutely. So I guess how I was motivated to start was I love telling stories. I just love sharing stories. Just I also notice things that I go through daily, the little things that just make such an impact on your life. And they don't have to be extremely like life-changing things, like, you know, you won an Oscar or God forbid you have like a difficult illness. Every situation that you go through has a lesson with it. And so throughout the years, I've kind of collected them in my head. And then the time was right after I finished The Most Amazing Department Store. And I said, well, I think it's now time to share my short stories.
Is that amazing?
And another reason why I want to write a book like this is because I belong to a book club and I have a lot of friends who love to read. And then I have friends who just don't have time to read, or maybe they don't have the patience to read. So you can't please everybody, but I wanted to meet people in the middle.
Yes.
And I feel the way the world is right now, we all need calming, happy, reflective stories.
Yes.
To read before bed. You know that feeling?
Yes.
Where you just want to read something nice before bed.
Totally. And you don't have, maybe you don't, you're not able to read a whole book and you're too tired to read a whole book. And so you're giving people the opportunity to read one story a night or as much as they wish.
Exactly.
And to pick it up again and again. And the lessons are so amazing. We're going to get into those in a moment as well.
Sure.
Why did you choose to title the book How to Pee in the Forest? It's a great story, but why did that become the title of the book?
Because I think throughout my entire life, that was the most challenging so far, funny, life-changing lesson that I learned at the young age of 18. There I was hiking in Israel. And I don't want to give the story away, but, you know, it was a 3 or 4 hour hike and there's no bathroom in sight. And well, let's call it like it is. I'm a bit of a princess. I like nice things. I like plumbing. I'm not a fan of camping. And I'm not ashamed to say that I don't like camping. It's just who I am. Okay. And my whole trip, everyone was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And like, they went and I was like, I just sank. Like, what am I going to do?
Yes.
And I was scared. And like, I tried, but I couldn't. And then the story is about how I did.
How you did. It's a fantastic story. And it's actually a very practical story too, because I think we all worry about that. So you're giving us some tips.
Now. I'm so good.
So wonderful. Anywhere. You know, I mentioned, Sharon, off the top that you're a hard worker. I really know this about you. You're highly conscientious and you do the work. And in a way, you're like the dream candidate for anyone, like for, I would say, for a publisher or for an editor or for a coach or for anyone, because you do the accountability, you do the work. You're not a procrastinator. You're really not. And no matter what, even if you fall down seven times, you get up the eighth. Can you say more about how there are no free passes and you simply have to do the work?
You know, I guess it's in my DNA. I love lists. I love agendas and schedules. And I'm a writer who does not write all day. I really do not write. Some writers write 8 hours. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I like to do other things. I also have a house to run. I have friends to meet. I like to exercise. I like to binge watch a show once in a while.
Yes.
It's a pleasure. There's no harm in that. So I schedule what I need to get done for, like, if I'm doing my first draft, 2-3 hours out of my day. I make sure that I do something fun at night. I watch a show with my husband, something like that. So I get it done because I know that it's not going to be the whole day. It's going to be a couple of hours.
Right.
However, when I'm editing and I have a deadline, then all fun goes away for a while and I'm really focused.
You bear down. You bear and down
do
and you get it done.
I do it.
You get it.
Yeah.
So you're also a very big stickler, Sharon, for honoring your commitments. Can you tell us why this is such an important, there's a story in the book, but it really is an important value for you. This is not just airy-fairy.
No, it's like, I just am somebody who respects people's time. So when you tell me, you need to speak to me at 9 o'clock, I will call you at 9 o'clock. Well, why not? It just doesn't make sense to me to blow you off. Why would I do that? Your time is important to you. My time's important to me. There are just certain things that I'm just on time and I meet my deadlines because I said I would. And if I can't, and when life gets in the way and an act of God comes in front of me and I have no control, and if I can't get in touch with you, I apologize. I say, I'm sorry. Right. I couldn't make it because you could always drop the ball. And trust me, I have dropped the ball on many occasions. I forgot to pick kids up at a carpool. I forgot an appointment. I send an apology. And depending how big the mistake is, sometimes I send a gift, like my sincerest, like, apologies. I'm so sorry I ruined your day. Like, I probably ruined their day. So I really make sure that my apology is sincere because it's my fault. And I take the blame for it because it is my fault.
Right, right. It's so important. It's an integrous way to be. And it's so interesting because part of your book is called With Life-Changing Lessons. And that will change your life. It reminds me also of your organization story in the bedroom, which we're going to get to in a minute. But by doing these good things, this is going to change your life in good ways. So it really is, it's a wellness book too, because it's by adopting these ideas and principles, you're actually making your life and other people's lives better. So I hope so.
And you know what? I think that when people are ready to change, they'll change. I can't just say, come on, clean up your room. I can't do that.
I'm looking at the story of when you go to your friend's house and when you were younger and how blown away you were by how perfect and immaculate her bedroom was. And I first would love you to describe her bedroom in your memory and how it turned you into a neat freak.
Because, you know, when I was a teenager, I really wasn't organized. My husband cannot believe it because I really am organized, but I just didn't know where anything was. It wasn't my time. Everybody blossoms at their time. Now, trust me, I still have lots to blossom and I still have lots to grow and learn and I still have lots of work to do. But at that time, my schedule was array and I didn't have things in its place. I didn't have it in their home. And this led to being late and dropping the ball more often than I do now. And so I became friends with this friend who I'm still friends with today. And I walked into her room and it was like the room showered me with calmness. There was nothing to step on. Like I was stepping on cassette tapes and things like that. And everything was just like, I was looking around saying, I want this. This is going to be like the new me.
Wow.
And so I slowly changed. It was not easy. I had to like stop habits. And then after 6 months, a year, my room was pretty good.
That's amazing. Did you do a bit of a Mel Robbins, even though she wasn't there at the time, of a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like just almost count it or break it into parts? I'm going to tackle this part of the bedroom, then the closet.
One it just happened. I was always, the alarm went off and I got out of bed. I just never like waited around.
That's great.
I guess I had, that was always in me. But I definitely just tackled the room as I saw it and slowly became more aware. I bought an agenda book. I started writing things down. And that also really helped. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been writing an agenda book, paper and electronically. I like both.
It's true.
But I still drop the ball because I'm human.
Of course.
I am not perfect and nobody is.
Of course. And we have to, and that's another message that is all throughout the book is we have to be kind to ourselves and we have to be patient and we can't be everything. Like we can't excel in every single area. There's going to be areas where we excel and there's going to be others that we're not as good at and that's okay. And you have to let that go. There's just so much good stuff in it. It's really amazing.
I'm so delighted. Thank you.
Can you tell us about the mentor that accompanies this story, Erin McElroy, and her perspective that she added to your own?
I think she's like, I'm just trying to describe Erin because she says so much and she's like has so much to say. She really likes you to focus in on your goals and to focus in on your perspective and to follow through with what your intentions. That's why I brought her in. Mm-hmm. And she does a lot of meditation and a lot of visualization. And she really takes her time in helping people. She does something called this yoga, and I forget the name of it, but it really helps with writer's block.
Wow.
It kind of really relaxes you. It's wonderful.
That's amazing. And do you think that's what a block is all about for writers? Because there's lots of writers listening to this who would appreciate this, that it is that you're tense, that you're stressed, and it's blocking that energy and that creativity.
Yeah, I think that's a piece of the pie. I think being tense is definitely one of them because I find that when I'm walking outside or on my Peloton, it comes out. Or like I'm doing something not mindless, like making muffins or cookies by using my hands. I guess I'm doing some sort of relaxation motion and then it comes out. And also to stay with it. Writer's block can last 2-3 days with me. And I accept it like, oh, it's happening. It's just, it's like a knot in my hair. I'll just gently brush it out and it will come out and usually does.
I mean, usually does. So I think that's part of it also, right? Is not fighting it and just sort of embracing it or surrendering to it maybe in a way, right?
Oh, I surrender. You have to surrender. And as a matter of fact, I think over COVID, you and Lily said like, we surrender. Remember that?
Yes.
I love that. I was like, that's it.
Yeah. That's the word. That's really funny. I also loved the story, and I think this is from Ricky Heller in the book, about we often learn from experiences that weren't so great at the moment. So it's this job, and the person thought it was going to be this fancy job, learning how to be a chef and learning how to cook and all this stuff. But it ended up being like a real grind, starting at 5 a.m, which nobody wants to start work at 5 a.m. And and she was going to be a hostess. That sounds so great. You're going to wear gorgeous clothes and be a hostess at, I think it was called Hunk a Chunk. And how that how that ended up leading, and correct me if this is correct, in her becoming a don in a university residence for 2 years in Toronto, loving every minute of it. Now, who would think such a responsible job being a don, a den mother, for those who don't know what a don is, in a university residence, could come from such a crazy job? Just tell us a bit about that that story, because that is very
fantastic. I find that, you know, even your first job out of university or your summer job could be a complete nightmare, but something good can come out of it that can lead you to something else. Like, you never know.
That's true.
And it's just like a couple of months of this job, and just to push through it, because you may find something that you're actually good at. And so Ricky, who was actually one of my editors, I had to, for this book, I asked her to give her perspective of this story. And she said that because she worked in a meat packing hunk of chunk, or I don't know what it was called, the head of the university said, that's a great idea. Like, you'll just please come be the Dawn. Isn't that great? And she's related to the story.
Wow. And she probably related to the fact that Ricky stuck with it. And that she stayed with it and stuck it out, right? Because that's a very big part of all this. Like, even with, and I know you're writing screenplays and you write books, and it's just that stick-to-itiveness. It's just staying with the program, right? And not giving up. You know, Jack Canfield says so many people give up 7/8 of the way to the finish line. Like, they're almost there and they give up. And if they just get that extra gumption to keep going in the hardest part of the whole marathon, if you will, that's when the great rewards are reaped, you know? Another great story in the book, and I don't want to give things away, so you still have to read the book to really enjoy all the juicy content and to really get the lessons deeply. But the story about breaking in the new pair of sandals, I love that.
Oh, yeah, I love that story.
We all have this, and it's funny, I was with I was at an event last night for ICRF Cancer Research, and I was with a sister-in-law who, one of my sister-in-laws, who was wearing these new shoes that were very, very difficult. She said, I can't keep these shoes. I said, no, be like Sharon Neiss Arbus in her new book, How I Learned to Be in the Forest. Break them in. There's these sandals that can mold to your feet. It's really cool. Tell us about that.
So, believe it or not, these sandals are Birkenstock.
Oh.
And there's no heel, right? And so you'd think that they're as comfortable as anything, like clouds, right?
Yes.
So my girlfriend had them. We went away together, and I loved them. They were gold. They were so pretty. And I said, when we get home, I'm going to get a pair at Sporting Life. So off I went, and I got them. Like, okay, these feel like nails. Like, why? And then I went on the Birkenstock site. I hope they don't sue me. And they said, keep going. Like, it takes 2 to 3 weeks. Do not travel with them right away. You have to work them in. And I didn't know. So I went on the website to find this out. And once I worked them in, now they're like butter.
Now they're like, isn't that amazing?
It's always work. It's work.
It's work. It is always work, isn't it, Sharon? Whatever you do, it's work. In any area
job.
Of your life. In
any job.
And in any part of your life, it's work. You have to work to reap the great rewards, you know, in the arts, in sciences, and in all of it, in cooking and baking and living and in being a writer and hosting a radio show. It's all work, and you have to work hard. And even then, it doesn't always work. You have to work harder.
And also the obstacles that come your way. I'm sure with your radio show, there's always obstacles.
Of course.
Always. You have to, like, I think having a great team is beneficial, and it really helps.
We really do. I have to say, we have the best team. And I'm not just saying that, we really do. And people that have been with this program since the beginning, like Mag has been here for 7 years, and Siobhan and Lauren for many, many years, and Sierra. Can you tell us more about Andrew Flynn's perspective and this chapter? I don't want to forget about all the other people. So all the other people loving you too on the team, that I haven't said all of your names because there's too many names, but you know who you are. Can you tell us more about Andrew Flynn's perspective and this chapter that speaks all about one of your core beliefs, and this is huge. It's almost what we're talking about. Love the process, because the process is where the magic lies, not the result. And just before I ask you to say more about that, I think about Joanna Goodman, who's an author who's written 7 books, who's the owner of Olay Linens, who was on the show recently. And she does love writing, because I said to her, sometimes when I go to, because I'm trying to write a new book all about finding your bliss, and I'm like, I go to the computer and I have, my stomach is in knots and I feel stressed and my heart is palpitating. And she said, maybe it's because I work at Olay Linens 2 days a week, very intensely, Monday and Wednesday, that the rest of the week I am free to do it. So I can't wait to get to that computer and do it. And she kind of also talked about this idea of loving the process of writing, not just the way everyone says, oh, it's great having written, but enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. Can you say more about that?
Sure. So I love the process of writing. And there's so many, I guess, steps to get to this process, or I guess part of the process is, first, I get to choose where I want to work. Do I want to work on my grandmother's couch?
Yes.
Do I want to go to the neighborhood Starbucks and get a cup of coffee and just sit in, like, in the wee hours of the morning where it's quiet and no one's around?
Nice.
And I can just dive in and just take this time for myself and let my thoughts just bleed onto the keyboards. Like, to me, that's almost like meditation. I just let it go. And so it's the process of building something. It's almost like I look at it as building a house. And it takes about 2 years to build a house, takes about 2 years to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start with a foundation and then you slowly, and I'm sure that an architect, I'm sure that like that a designer enjoys choosing the fabrics and the wood.
Yes.
And everything. And they love it. Look at all these choices. And
right.
For me, it's like, look at my imagination.
Right.
Look at all these words I can choose and these feelings like I could just touch and bring to the page. And
right.
So with Andrew Flynn, he's a coach for long distance running.
Wow.
And it's the process he loves of just running every day and just making, setting goals for yourself.
Nice.
And the chapter really resonated with him. And that's how he related it so well.
That's so great. How did you find all these people? Some of them were in your life. I know that. Like, I know Rebecca mm-hmm. Eckler, we'll talk about her after,
yes.
Said something great in the book, and editors and people you work with and coaches and da-da. But how did you sort of have to sit down and make a list of, this is my wish list of people I'd love to ask for help? Or was
sure.
it more organic? Or how did that all...
A lot of them came from the Wellness Intelligence Collective, TWIC for short. And Lisa Borden is the engineer behind this social media platform.
Yes.
And it's a private platform, and there are members, and there are great people there who just give and give and give. And I chose a lot from them, from this platform.
From this platform. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I also loved in the book, so this is something I want to say. I am really happy for people when they get good things. I'm just like that. I've always been like that. I don't have the jealous gene. I have the, oh my God, you got that. Not I want that, but wow, you did it. That's so awesome. Way to go. Like, it lifts me up and makes me exultant. And I'm not trying to be a goody two shoes, but it's true. Like, that's something I really feel. So I love the chapter on how to just accept where you're at. And to not constantly look over your shoulder, as you say, compare and contrast is the thief of joy. Stay in your own lane. Can you tell us about what walking backwards, and the reason I'm asking this is I go to this workout place and they wanted me to walk backwards on this sled mill, not a treadmill, but a sled mill, longevity gym. I was struggling with that walking backwards. But what is walking backwards in your book?
It's just doing something completely different and you're not used to it. So it really challenges everything, like your brain and obviously you have to make sure that no one's behind you, but it's
right.
just, it makes you think, and like, you're so used to walking forward that walking backwards is just on a whole other level.
Yeah.
That's actually quite refreshing after a run. So I do that sometimes.
Then
people on my studio are like, what are you doing?
That's hilarious. So it's refreshing after run, like it almost calms you down
it does calm me down.
And it maybe uses a different part of your brain, like a right brain, left brain kind of thing, like it jostles something up or.
I'm sure it's good for somebody my age.
Wow. Well, I'm even older than you, so I think I'm excited.
Well,
I got to retry. I found it very challenging. Did you find it challenging
is.
When you first started?
Sure. sure. Of course it's hard. See, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's all hard.
It's all hard. Bet you do it. Bet you do it.
Yeah.
What are foot rocks with Allison?
Foot rocks. It's an exercise from TWIC.
Wow.
And it's a way to like move your feet. And I put these exercises after stories because sometimes when you read something, you just have to get up and move a part of your body. And even if like it's something as gentle as holding your thumb.
Yes.
After you've been crushed. But I forget where I put that holding thumb exercise.
Yes.
Was it after being rejected or something?
Yeah, I read that.
You just have to hold your thumb.
Yeah. Wow.
And it just kind of calms you.
You called them exercise snacks. What a great.
Because they're small and they're not hour long. They're like a minute.
That's so great, Sharon, because it's not like this big beluga, like a meal. It's a little snack and everybody can have a little snack and fit a little snack in.
Exactly. So while you're waiting for water to boil.
Absolutely. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Sharonese Arbus, all about her new book, How I Learned to Pee in the Forest, and other lighthearted stories with life-changing lessons. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740, and we're here with Sharonese Arbus, and we're talking all about her newest book, How I Learned to Pee in the Forest. And just before the break, we were discussing the exercise snacks, Sharon, that you feature in your book, which are little simple actions that you can do to ground yourself throughout the day. One exercise snack that I loved was towards the end of the book, where you talk about when you're really stressed, you've had a difficult conversation with someone, or you're feeling really bad, you rub your hands together. Say it in your own words, but that was very
helpful. Rub your hands together, put on your eyes, and it'll just bring some heat and some energy to you.
Wow. And just help you.
And of course,
pause.
I'm not doing these exercises. These are all done by yoga instructors and other type of movement specialists on TWIC that you can find on the link. There's a link after each chapter.
I love Shauna Linson's line. That's why there's 100 different flavors of ice cream. Can you explain what she meant by that? It's so true.
Yes. So Shauna Linson is a really good friend, and she's a registered dietitian, and she's also an exceptional chef. She's just very gifted in the kitchen. And I am not.
See, I don't believe that somehow. I don't know why I always think of you as being like a real, like
people think that I have my recipes, I repeat them. I'm not very adventurous in the kitchen. I try. I really do try. Anyhow, so when my kids were really young and I would go to like to Shauna's house for dinner or another friend, they would be like, this is so good. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't. I don't know how.
But I can write a great book.
I just feel so bad. And so it's stop comparing. I'm not her and she's not me.
Right.
And just appreciate when I get a dinner invitation.
Yeah, totally.
And she gets it.
It's so great. I loved your story. I found this one of the most powerful things in the book was when you talked about the book touring company audition and how you had to speak in front of 200 people and how hard that was and how you even thought, I'm not going to do this, but you did it. And what was that like and what ultimately happened after that?
So a lot of people who read the book already said, what happened after that?
Yes.
So I ended up, first of all, this was through Zoom. So it was 200 people who were watching me. So this is my third book, The Most Amazing Department Store. And it was for a Jewish book council. Wow. And it was an opportunity for schools and synagogues and other organizations to fly me into the city so I wow. could do a type of a book tour. So anyhow, so I did do it and I thought I did a good job, but it turned out that I wasn't chosen.
Okay. So that wasn't your lane. That wasn't your lane, right?
It wasn't my lane. 20% of people don't get chosen. And I remember calling Jewish Book Council and asking, because I had to know why, because
right.
I asked them before, what the 20% that don't get chosen, why not? And right. they told me, oh, they go over their mark. They nothing to do with Judaism. Like, no, I'll be fine. right. But as it turned out, they just weren't interested or maybe right. didn't resonate with
right.
them.
Right. It wasn't the story that they
had to move on.
You had to move on. And you do have to move on when it's not the right thing. And this is so important, is not to get so stuck. How could I, what could I have done? And would have, yeah. should have, could have, and just go, I know where I excel. I know where my strength is. I'm going to mm-hmm. hold on to that.
It wasn't meant for me.
It wasn't meant for you. It wasn't meant for you. Also, another thing I love, because again, this is so good for writers, actors, anyone who's doing anything creative, artists, visual artists, is there was a story that you were stuck writing. You had to rewrite something 12 times.
Oh, yeah.
You used a special kind of exercise called Qigong and channel etching. Or maybe it was the person that read your story that talked about channel etching after thing. But do you know what I'm talking about this Qigong to get unstuck?
It was probably an exercise to relax me, to release any tension, because
yes.
this is the type of writing project that I was given that I've never done before.
Wow.
I thought I slam dunked it. I didn't.
Yeah.
And my husband is the one who caught me on the floor like, like, I don't know what else to do. And he says, well, maybe this type of writing isn't in your area of expertise.
Right, right.
And that's okay, because he's a family doctor. He's not taking out an appendix.
Right. He goes to a specialist, as you right. say in the book. Okay. He goes to a specialist when it's something that's beyond his scope. And maybe you go to a center or you move on to the thing that is, which is so amazing.
Exactly.
Rebecca Eckler, who published your last book, the department store book, which I love. I
yes.
love that book.
Thank you.
I loved her take on the counselor that was hurtful to you. She's very smart, Rebecca. She can
yes.
you share a few of the words that she suggested on how to look at this?
I never thought of it that way, which is so interesting. So I don't want to give the story away.
No, don't. Just give us a snippet.
I'll just say that I was 11 and it was the 80s and camp counselors weren't that nice. they had no boundaries. So
right.
she was me.
right.
After I was doing something that was very innocent. And Rebecca pointed out that good for you that you unleashed your creativity and was doing something, and shame on her for being so mean. That was
yeah.
just awful
yeah. Yeah.
and hurt people.
Right, right. And that's what she said.
I didn't
hurt
know
people.
That at 11, but I did know that it was wrong.
Yeah.
And I vowed not to repeat the pattern.
When you were a counselor years later,
oh, yeah.
that you would
I
be.
I remembered that and
yeah.
said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because trauma sometimes repeats itself. Like my counselor did that, so I'm going to do that to my campers.
Right,
or
right.
my parent did that, so I'm going to do that to my kid. It's
totally,
wrong.
Totally. And you also say when dealing with mean people to be the calm one in the interaction. And I love that. It's so true to pause. I go back to this life-changing lessons in your book. And you say more about how do you be calm in the face of a meanie?
Well, what happened, it was in a store in Toronto and the person wasn't giving me the time of day and nobody was in the store.
Right.
Like,
hello.
hello. And the only way to connect with her is to be extra kind and patient.
Yes. And to stay. And you also stated, if I remember correctly, you stated what you needed. You said, I came here to buy, I won't give what it is, to buy this. I came here with this purpose. Please help me.
Yeah.
And you say
it. I had to be direct. Like, what do I want?
Yes. And what's your purpose? And isn't that true about all of life? What do I want? I want to be a writer and you do it. I want to be a screenwriter and you're doing it. It's just state your purpose and be clear, but then do the work. to get there.
Oh yeah. You right? have to, yeah. There's no free pass.
You can't just say, I want to manifest this and just sit on your laurels. You have to do the work. There's so many cool expressions in this book. What is Teacups Leah? And how did the idea of being and acting like Oprah give you the courage to write this book?
Like Oprah?
Well, there's a story where you say, they say, be like Oprah, be the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little hint about
this? Yes. Yeah. So this is my second book. And someone who was doing the producing of this book said, I want you to be like this. I want you to be like Oprah. I'm like, what? Like me? And I didn't have the wherewithal, I didn't have the self-esteem.
Yeah.
To take charge and to give it my all.
Yeah.
And I just needed someone to say, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
That's it. Permission. Give you permission.
One person
you're right.
who believes in you.
You're so right.
You're can do this.
You're so right. One person, someone once told me that. It's so interesting. A producer at the CBC once said that one producer or one person, I always think of, thank you, Meg Ruffman, of that one person that believes in you and knows you can do it. And then you have, but then again, you've got to, it's like they'll help you get in the door, but then you've got to do the work to stay in the door, right?
100%. Yes.
How did social media maven Joy Badler give you the courage to actually do the things? Like, I love this thing where you relate it to, as Ralph Waldo Emerson says, do the thing and then you'll have the power. It's such a coach-like thing to say.
Yeah. You know? I love Joy. She, and I met her on social media. So like, I feel that social media could be really bad. It could also be really good. It's
yes.
like people out there. There's yeah. some people that are just interesting and some people are really amazing. Yeah. And we met and we're friends and she's just a lovely, she's I think chief feel good officer at a school. She's just she's a wonderful position in education.
Wow.
And she's just always there to talk about things. And she just says, just do it. And it's the Nike ad from the 80s, but it's just try it, do it. And see what happens.
That's where the power lies. Right. That's where the power lies. Because so many people get stuck.
Yeah, take that risk.
A lot of people, they'll get paralyzed and are not able to do it. They can't start. And there is beauty and boldness and greatness in just doing it. Even if it's not perfect. As you know, like at the first draft is not perfect. You have to back and you have to, you know, a lot of writing is the rewriting. But you have to get it out. So your acknowledgements, especially about your husband, Gordy, and I'm not going to give it away because you want to read the book to read this, made me cry. But can you tell us just more about how it really does take a village to write and create a book?
Oh, my.
True? Is that a loaded question? No, but it's like, it's not a one-person job.
Oh, no. Forgive me. It takes a team. It takes a great team. It takes patience.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of editors. And, you know, I'm actually going to do a reel tomorrow about this because this was like one more lesson I had just before I published, or actually before I published again. My daughter caught it. It was a misprint. So I had some information on a certain page and it reappeared on another page that was supposed to be blank, like a palette cleanse in between chapters.
Yes.
And so I had to do a reprint. And so it was another lesson that I learned. So to give myself more time when I publish, don't rush through it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so close to it that I can't proofread it.
No, you can't. You're in it. You're in it. You can't see the forest from the trees, of course.
Absolutely.
I remember that.
So you need a team. You need different eyes.
Yeah.
They could be your friends who are voracious readers. They don't have to be professional editors at all. And so it's your friends who you can rely on. Would you please read this and see if you have any typos, if you can find anything doesn't make sense to you.
Right.
You're like, you're my audience. So it's a lot of teamwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I learned a lot and I love doing it. And it was a great project.
So your advice to, because you've done this four times already, so you're a pro now. What is your advice to budding, aspiring writers? There's people out there who, you know, we had a guy who wrote 100 songs and said he wanted to sing one of the songs on the show. And he's an older person. And he wrote a song called God Lives Here. And I'm telling you, it's one of the highlights by far. The song is beautiful, honestly beautiful. But his journey, the fact that he did it, that dreams have no expiration date. So what advice do you have for maybe a 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old writer out there who wants to write, whether it's a short story, a novel, or nonfiction, or anything.
Don't answer that just yet, Sharon. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back, in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And just before the break, I asked you, Sharon, what advice you have for aspiring writers out there of any age.
Well, first, I want to say that writing anything, actually, it doesn't cost anything. All you need is a laptop and time. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to hire anybody. You don't need to rent a studio. You just need a desk and a laptop. So if you think about the investment, mm-hmm. it's actually really, really low.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have laptops. Am I assuming that to be or a computer or a typewriter?
Yes.
Or even a pen and paper?
Yes, yes. Totally.
And to start small, to set a timer for an hour and just to write every day for an hour, maybe even half an hour. Huh. And the next thing you know, in 2 weeks, you'll have a lot of material.
Wow.
It's to just start.
And how do you not be critical of yourself? Because I think what happens to people is you're writing and you're going, oh, I don't like this. Right?
The first draft, I'm throwing sand in the sandbox. Just throwing it in the sandbox. I'll sculpt it later.
Right.
So the first draft is the most fun because you really, like, you get to almost write with the door closed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then you go back and then you open the door and then you start editing. So
nice.
I love the process. It's fun because I get to make up stories. It's great.
So great.
Although this is memoir-ish. Most of the stories are true. Some are based on true stories.
Yes.
I had to fictionalize a couple things for privacy. But I have to tell you that there are two stories in here that are my favorite, and I have to share them.
And they are true. I'd love to hear
them. They are 100% true.
Wow.
The first, it's also my husband's favorite story, too.
Nice.
It's the dry cleaning story about visiting the dry cleaner. So I'm not going to say what that's about, but everyone's like, I love that story.
Yes, yes.
And the final story about the film, Life is Beautiful.
That's one of my questions. So that story made me cry.
Yeah. Best Picture 1998.
Yeah,
did that win Best Picture?
It did.
If you didn't see it, go see it or rent it or download it. It's an outstanding movie. And that was like, pretty close to peeing in the forest. Like that was life-changing.
That was life-changing. That was an epiphany. And the fact that it also had something to do with your son really touched my heart. And Josh, you know, I'm a fan. And it's just a beautiful story. And I can't that was one of the best stories in the book. I agree. It was unbelievable. You also talk in the book about why it's so important to stand up for yourself. Sometimes we just don't do it enough. What is so important about learning and having that skill of standing up for yourself?
To speak the truth, to get it off your chest, to clear the air.
Yeah.
I think there are certain things that don't need to be said, but there are certain times when you just have to get it out.
Yes, yes. And you're scared to sometimes.
And, of course.
Right? And you have to do it in a gentle way, in a kind way, and in a way where you're looking for something collaborative and nice, but you sometimes have to get it off your chest.
Yes.
You can't be a doormat, right?
No.
Absolutely.
No.
I love the exercise snacks. I know we talked about that. at the end of every chapter, probably there's these exercise snacks. And there's also a way to go back and read more about the mentor or the person that you've interviewed and get even more about from these exercises. So that's a really lovely thing because the book becomes a living book. It keeps going on and on, which is
giving.
It keeps giving. I love that. What ultimately, Sharon, would you like people to take away from this book? What is the main thing you want them to get from it? I know maybe many different things because there's so many lessons, but ultimately, what's the thing you'd like people to get from this book?
I just took a deep breath. I want them to feel relaxed. I want them to feel that these are relatable. Yeah, I felt that way too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And yeah, I went through that, something very similar. Yeah. I want them to be relatable stories and to know that they're not alone.
Absolutely.
For their shoulders to come down.
Yes. Your famous department store book. Give me the exact title.
It's okay. The Most Amazing Department Store.
What is happening? There are screenplay discussions happening. What is your goal for that, the evolution of that book?
Well, I've always envisioned it to be on the screen or up on the theater.
Yes.
Netflix, that'd be lovely. I've always envisioned these characters to come alive.
Yes.
And so with the help of you, thank you, you've matched me up with an old employee of yours.
Yes.
Eva.
Eva. Hi, Eva.
Yes, who is lovely. She's half my age, but boy, does she know her stuff.
She's a great little screenwriter. Yeah.
She's terrific.
Yeah.
And together, we are like yin and yang. I'm like the dialogue gal, and she's the big picture screen and like nice stories and just making sure that enough is being represented. And so we're just about done. We're polishing the script and we're going to show it around.
Wow.
Why not?
So you come back and tell me about it when it becomes a film?
Yes, of course I will.
I love that.
For sure. Well, let's see where it goes, but we're doing it. I wanted to do it and it was so much fun. I loved it.
Are there any other projects writing-wise, book-wise that you have on the go, a little sneak peek that you can share with us?
Yeah.
Of course.
So, it's been a long time since I've stepped foot in the classroom. Oh. So I recently just signed up. I'm actually halfway through with University of Toronto, the continuing education. I'm taking a writing course.
Wow.
Why not? It's online and it's about framing the arc of the story.
Nice.
Because usually when I write, I just go, blah.
Right.
and that could be good, but this time I want to be more organized and
nice.
Have like my characters laid out and what happens. I'm just using my hands a lot. What happens here and there, and just kind of like get it all organized.
Yes.
And I'm in a class with 12 other women.
Wow.
And it's the teacher's a writer and a screenwriter.
Nice.
And I'm having a really good time. Oh, but there's homework.
Oh, great.
There's homework.
That's like, great. Geez. See, that's accountability. I love that. That's like, as a life coach, I love that because it's the accountability and the homework that's going to get you to do the work. And it's going to get you to propel you further and further and further. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. So I have book five is definitely in my mind.
Wow.
And I don't know when I'm going to start it. Probably the new year. I want to work on getting this out into people's hands.
Nice.
But I'm definitely writing the outline of the story.
That's great. So you got to come back and tell us all about that too. There's a question. There's a question. You know what the question is because you've been on the show many times that we ask every guest at the end of the show. I know I've asked you this before. What is bliss these days for Sharon Nee-Sarvis?
Being with my family.
Yeah, of course.
Being with my family and making muffins. Being with my family and having Shabbat dinner.
Yeah.
Just being at home with my family.
What about coffee? What's happened to coffee?
Oh, coffee's up there.
Do you have a favorite coffee?
Up there.
What's your favorite coffee these days?
Oh, it's still Kicking Horse.
Kicking Horse.
Do you know what my husband did for my birthday? It was like the best birthday. You know how people go on like beer runs or like wine tastings? He said, we're going to discover coffee houses in Toronto.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful day and it was on all weekend. And he researched coffee houses.
Oh.
And we went, I couldn't have 5 cups of coffee.
Right.
But we shared a small and we gave each other like a scorecard.
That's so cute.
But we couldn't find a cup that was good out of five. I think six.
Really?
So a kicking horse still wins.
Still wins. Isn't that interesting, eh?
Yeah, it was a great day.
That's so fun. What a creative, great idea.
It was fun.
Sharon, what is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and of course, to get a copy of your latest book, How I Learned to Pee in the Forest? And that story is excellent among all of them. They're all great.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so how to get the book? It's on Amazon. You can just put in Sharon Neiss Arbus and up comes all my four books and get on Amazon. Secondly, how to reach me, Sharon at SharonNeissArbus.com. Yeah. I have a website, SharonNeissArbus.com. And I'm on Instagram. Sharon Neiss Arbus.
And Facebook.
Yeah, Sharon Neiss Arbus.
That's so great. Well, Sharon, it's been so delightful to talk to you. It really is a feel-good book. I shared something with you at the beginning and just how this book really made me feel so uplifted and so great.
So delighted.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me on the show again. It was just so much fun. I honestly forget that we were being recorded and I feel like we're just having coffee.
We're totally having coffee. We're having coffee at Starbucks and we're having some kicking horse and kicking back. It's so great. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
We're going to end today's show by talking with Marissa, whose real name is Marisa, and she is the lead floral designer at Garrett Florists. Garrett Florists is our wonderful floral sponsor who adorns our set with the beautiful pink roses you see in the background each week. And I don't know about you, but beautiful flowers are one of the best pathways to finding your bliss. Marissa has been with Garrett Florists for 13 years now, and she joins us today to talk about what's new in flowers, what's hot and what's not, exciting new plans for Garrett Florists. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss, Marissa. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you for having me. This is definitely out of my wheelhouse, being in front of a camera, but thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to be on the platform.
Absolutely. Well, you do such a beautiful job. And there's never been a floral design that you've made that I've sent out to someone for a birthday or an anniversary or for whatever it is that I haven't gotten many calls and photos of the beautiful flowers just saying, wow. And then I get another call usually about 8 days later saying, and they're still alive and they look so great, which is another amazing thing that you guys do. So you're really fantastic at this and so delightful to have you here to share this with our listeners.
Thank you.
Marissa, can you tell us about when you first fell in love with flowers and floral design? Have you always loved flowers?
From a very young age, I think back in Sri Lanka, I was fortunate to be introduced to Ikebana, which is like the Japanese floral design. Because at that time, it was really popular. A lot of my friends' parents were studying it, learning it. And I remember just seeing some of those designs and I was just blown away, just like how something so minimalist, you know, just could just be stand out and just make such an impact. So I think that was my first like, oh my God, I love this moment, like, you know. And then even after I got married, I came here, my mother-in-law had studied Ikebana, so she was big into it. So we would have so much fun, just, you know, I think it was more about if we found a vase somewhere that we thought this is going to be perfect, you know, little things and just putting things together. And so I always did from a very young age, loved flowers. But I think more in the last 20 years of being here, I think it really got me to where I was. And when I applied to work at Garrett Florists, I thought, you know what, I'm going to apply, see, I love it. And if not, I was actually going to study Ikebana. I was just going to go and, you know, learn that. But yeah, so Brian, who was the owner of Garrett Florists for, I think he's had it for 35 years, welcomed me in and I've been here. And I remember your house was one of the first houses I came to 13 years ago every Friday to set up all your flowers for Friday Shabbat dinner. And yeah, now fast forward, I'm here running the shop. So it's amazing.
So
it's amazing.
Well, love to Brian and the OG, and we love him, and love to you. You really are so creative and so talented. Where do you get your inspiration? Do you sort of pour through magazines, and where do you look for inspiration?
Well, back in the day, that's what it was. Every time you would see a magazine that had designs, you know, you go and buy it. But now, Judy, with everything's at your fingertips, like whether it's Instagram or TikTok, like the amount of designers around the world that you see, like, it's amazing. So, you know, most times now, all my feeds are just flowers and floral and, you know, just seeing things and the amount of flowers out there that you have never seen or heard of. And now I get to, you know, go check them out, try them out, and actually like experiment on our customers too, you know, change up the designs a little, see. But yeah, I love it. I mean, we are lucky that we're in a time where everything is at our fingertips these days, for sure.
It's so great. What are some of the exciting plans you have for the holidays? And are poinsettias still the thing and the traditional go-to, or are there also some exciting alternatives?
Well, poinsettias, I think, given that it's such a short window, a six-week period that we get them in, people, as soon as they see them in, they're like, oh my God, it's like poinsettia season. And especially now in the shop, we've got so many of them around. It really makes a difference. And yes, we still have so many customers who call us like in November and like, okay, just remind me, when is it coming in? And they order like multiples for their homes, offices. Poinsettias are for sure still one of those go-to plants. And in terms of flowers, like the amaryllis, which is like a beautiful flower, we always carry during, you know, the holiday season, whether it's for Hanukkah, like when the whites and the reds during Christmas, that is another popular flower for us during this time. So great.
Well, also when I send your poinsettias to people, they always talk about them. Like they're so festive and they're so gorgeous and they're very full. Like they're
full because we do them up too. Like we use all the winter greens and we really fill them up too to make them, you know, that much more special for sure. Yeah.
So great. What are some exciting plans that you have for 2026 at Garrett Florists?
Well, if I survive the holidays, Judy, then yes, I will for sure. But right now, it's hard to even think. We're just getting ready with Hanukkah coming up on the weekend, you know, so we're getting ready for that. The next week, Christmas. But I think the first half of the year is busy because before you know it, we have Valentine's Day, Passover, Mother's Day, right? And for one thing is the spring is always just like so special with all those flowers that come in, like the softer colors, the softer flowers. So that is exciting. But in terms of arrangements too, I find in the last maybe 5 years, we have kind of moved away from like the more structured and arrangements to a lot softer, like arrangements with movement, you know, kind of like your English garden arrangement almost. Nice. So we have kind of gone, and I think people are liking that change. They're liking that change. So now it's just a matter of seeing what's out there and, you know, just trying new things. I'm excited.
Do you have a favorite flower? You're surrounded by them and I'm sure you love them all, but is there one that you get excited about it still to this day?
I love Lysianthus. I think I just love like the soft, whether it's the cream or the lavender Lysianthus, I find it's something that just makes me happy all the time. If I can carry right through the year, I will. Something else is maybe like the delphiniums. I don't know whether you can see behind me. I think we have some pale blue delphiniums in there, which I love too. Yeah, but you know, Judy, that's a great thing is no matter how long you've been here, I find if it's a holiday and we get up, you know, when the new shipment comes in, the seasons change, you just get so excited about seeing those flowers. They just, it never gets old. You're never tired of seeing them.
True. Flowers make you feel good. Flowers just 100%. Always bring you bliss. And of course, that brings me to our next question, a question we ask everyone at the end of the show. Of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Marissa?
Well, I mean, for sure, coming in every day, being surrounded by flowers, like there is no bigger bliss, I think, but probably just my family, my kids.
Of course. Marissa, what's the best way for people to contact you at Garrett Florist and connect with you on social media?
Well, we do have like our Instagram right now, which, you know, you can DM us and we can order it. Otherwise, phone lines, email, website, we've got all that going. And hopefully in the next year, we'll see what else is out there that we can kind of reach people through. But yeah, those are the main ways.
Tell us your handle on Instagram.
I believe it's just Gerard Florist.
Yes. And the website, the same thing, GerardFlorist.com?
It's just Gladflorist. Yeah, GerardFlorist.com.
Amazing. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been so delightful to have you on the show today. I'm so glad that we made this happen. And
thank you,
so happy to have you here. Each week, we spotlight a fabulous person like Sharonice Arbus and Marissa from Gerard Florist who are living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, therapist, life coach, or really anyone who was found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's program? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the bliss coach. That means I help you find your passion and purpose, gain clarity, all those good things. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guests, Sharonice Arbus and Marissa, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our official sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. And as well, thank you to Gerard Florist, our studio florist, for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.